And in the Jews, they do. They have, I don't know, 160 or whatever. What we read the most is 10. We call them the Ten Commandments. These guys wanted to know what commandments were the great commandments. What was the most important commandments? And Jesus said it like this. He said, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, he says, if you do those, you fulfill all the rest. How many want to fulfill all the Ten Commandments? Then keep the first two. Praise God. Come into that relationship with God. And becoming a member of a church, yeah, okay, it fulfills a legal requirement. It fulfills a constitutional requirement. But it's more about a relationship that you have with Almighty God. That is really important. But then also you have a relationship with those around you. We made mention a few weeks ago that Paul the Apostle wanted to join himself to the church in Jerusalem. And that word join that the Bible uses means to be cemented or glued together. And it was very illustrative of the kind of relationship that membership is. You're just not in and out, up and down, and when something happens, you're out, and you know, something going's good, you want to be a part of it, and I get that. Those are human characteristics, but what God did was a deep work. This thing where you accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior is a personal relationship. When I began my relationship with Jesus, I was 7 years old. And I tell you, I grew up in church. I'll tell you, every time the church doors were open, we were there. Remember an ice storm? It was an ice storm. The ice was just glass. My dad says, we're going to church. It was a Sunday morning. We're going to church. I'll never forget this. I said, okay. All of us kids said, okay. We looked outside, and she was just glass. And I went, okay. We got in the car. Do you know my dad couldn't get, it was so slick, my dad couldn't get that car out of the driveway. I went, oh, gee, no church today. My dad says, we're walking. So about a mile and a half, 2 miles, something like that, we walked to church. I wish to this day, I told my parents back then, every time we talk about it, I wish I had put my skates on and skated to church. She was just that kind of a day. The ice was so slick on the sidewalks. There was nobody moving. When we got to church, it was just the pastor and our family there. Imagine. But my parents just believed that every time the church doors were open, we were there. And, you say, what happened to the other people? They were wise. They stayed home so that they didn't fall. Yeah, you know. But it really, it's not about just attending church, you see. Having membership is just not about attending church. I always say, have for years. My wife's heard this so much, she said, can't you change it? But going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a burger. And you can go to Tim's, it doesn't make you a policeman. There's a relationship that happens. It's just not coming to church. Although we appreciate and love everybody that comes and participates. Actually, it's a New Testament thing. In the book of Acts, Peter begins to preach a little bit in Acts chapter 2. And after he gets done preaching, the Bible says there are 3,000 people that are added to the church. 3,000 people. Now, did they just get together to have a service like this? Well, it actually says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals. Now, what's awesome to me about that is that early church, they got together in some ways almost every day. Why? Why in the world would they do that? Because they loved the fellowship that they had with one another. They first had a connection with God. They were added to the church. They asked the Lord to come into their heart and into their life, to ask the Lord to be the Lord of their life, to change them, okay? And that's what Christ had come to do. He come to seek and save all that were, the Bible uses the word lost. In fact, we're all lost. And what I find out is if I want to go to Toronto or I want to go home to, which happens to be Woodstock, Ontario, when I go home, I used to consult a map to show me how to get there. Now we have a GPS, and I use a GPS, but nonetheless, I have something that gives me direction on how to get there. Now I've been there so many times now that I don't necessarily have to have the GPS, but I have to have a roadmap. I have to have something that will steer me in a direction to get me where I want to go. If I want to get to know God, the Bible is that kind of a book that it shows me how to become a Christian. So that's what the early church did. Peter preached, and 3,000 people come, were added to the church that day, and they all devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals. Now, after the service this morning, there's food. And we want to share a meal together. And some people brought in dishes. I saw, I'm seeing dishes. And I'm going, this is going to be good. Praise the Lord. And you're all welcome to participate in that meal together. Now, the other thing is that all of the while the people were, Bible says in Acts 2:47, that all the while they were praising God and they were enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So, you know, they were meeting together. As a matter of fact, in chapter 2, verse 44, it says, "And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need, and they worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes, even for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with," says, "great joy and generosity." See, when we love one another, when we love God and we love one another, we want to do things together. Praise God. We want to eat together. We want to participate together. We want to do things to enjoy one another's company. And in those days, they celebrated. They just didn't come together to eat, but they celebrated the one that they were serving. In fact, they were even having communion in their homes. Wow. What was that about? I thought, Pastor, that can't happen. We're only supposed to do communion on Sundays, the first Sunday of the month. That's the only time we're supposed to have. Not these folks. They love God so much that they wanted to eat and to celebrate and to fellowship with one another. And each time that they partook of communion, it remembered the Lord's death. But it also remembered the Lord's resurrection. But it also remembers that he's going to come again one day. And that's what it was in remembrance. So they were getting to know one another in that way. You know, in John chapter 13, it says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." That's John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Because I'll be honest with you, there are some times that that churches don't really get along that well together. And the world seems to find out about it somehow. You see, this says, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples." A true disciple of Jesus is one that loves God and loves one another. And it loves one another to the point we were demonstrating that love. Just like God demonstrated his love, we're to demonstrate our love for one another. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says some interesting words. By the way, if you don't know me, I'm sorry, I'm built upside down. My nose runs and my feet smell. I have this thing that keeps, I don't have a cold or anything, it's just one of those things that happen. Okay, so I made myself known a little bit in a little bit different light. But see, that's what family does. We're not afraid to share with one another. When we get together, our fellowship together becomes a safe place. And that's when we begin to share needs and burdens and cares. I'm saddened along with Charlie. Charlie lost his dog. Dog got hit by a car. I know what that feels like. Our dog got out an open door and went across the road and got hit by a van. Charlie, I know what that feels like, to lose your pet, to lose your friend. But you know, family, we care about one another. When they hurt, we all hurt. When we're like Sam gets a job, we're happy with him. I was just so happy that Sam got his job. You know, there seems to be in life, there seems to be such extremes. There's death and there's life. There's light and there's darkness. But you know, a family celebrates the things that go on regardless of what happens in our life. And Ephesians chapter 5 verse 30 says, we are members of his body. That means the body of Jesus. Jesus said, I will build my church. Okay? But then later on, Paul begins to talk about this relationship with one another like a body. And my hand does not say to my foot, I don't have need of you. By the way, for those of you that were praying, my mom came through her surgery very, very well. She had a total knee replacement, and they were able to straighten the leg, and she came out of it well, and now she'll be in for probably 3 or 4 days. My dad got out of the hospital in his home, and he's doing well as well. He'll be 90 this year, and he's doing his exercises every day. My sister, who lives in London, Ontario, is home and is staying there for this weekend, and is staying with him, and is every half hour, 30 minutes or 35 minutes, she's getting him up to do his exercises. He's got to do his exercises. And my dad has got motive. The motive for my dad to get better is, I got to take care of my wife. They've been married almost 65 years this year. It'll be 65. My dad is motivated to get better and stronger so he can take care of my mom. And I think that's awesome. That's what family does. Because of some of the things my parents have been going through, my sisters, I have 3 sisters and no brothers. I'm very different from Shannon. She has 3 brothers and no sisters. And family, they don't always get along. Family matters. Families, that's what happens. We have different likes and we have different dislikes. The fun part comes if somebody shares something that is not according to our liking. The thing is, we have to learn how to respond to that issue in life, so we don't become bitter or hardened or angry or anything. Bible actually says, be angry and sin not. Okay to be angry, but it says be angry and sin not. We have to learn how to get together and how to demonstrate that love for one another. But our family, they have, my mom told me, she said before she went into the hospital, I called her to have prayer with her, and she said, you know, these sisters are yours that are here. I have one that's out in Abbotsford, she can't be there, but I have 2 that are, one in London and one in Woodstock, Ontario. She says, these sisters are yours, and my grandchildren are coming around to help us like I never imagined. And I'm going, that's awesome. They are They all have issues. We're people. We have issues. But they banded together to help my mom and dad. That's what family does. Our family was very different from Shannon's family. Our family was hugging. When you come in the door, you got a hug. And throughout that time you were there, you got a hug. When you were gone and leaving, you were having a, getting another hug. They demonstrated that love by their, by a hug. And they told us often, I love you. Was that, did that mean that mom never disciplined us? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't have any scars to prove it, but I tell you, my mom, she asked the Lord for patience. She asked the Lord for patience, and she got me. The Bible says a tribulation works patience. And I was her little tribulation for a while, you know. But, you know, that family, they love one another. They demonstrate that love. And just like in my family, they had to come together when there were needs that were there. That's what family does. That's what I am hoping for the body of Christ here at Bethel, that we would come together and minister to one another. To me, it's just not enough to come on Sunday and shake one another's hand and say, God bless you, good to see you. There's something going on. You can pray, and you can believe God with them and stand with them and fellowship with them. And praise God. It's just not enough to say, I love you, but to demonstrate. That fellow down that screen, man, I mean, he had the words to say. Woo, he had the words to say. But to demonstrate, to actually speak it was one thing, but to demonstrate it was another. And, he had a ring. Glory to God. Now, in 1 Corinthians, and I'm almost through, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said that talks about that there was some body, parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. The parts we engage as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this kind of special care. God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes harmony among the members, so that all the members, listen to this, care for each other. Praise God. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are the body of Christ, and each are a part of it. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, this is my final scripture. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule your hearts. That cannot happen unless you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I'm going to read what's on the certificate of our new members today, because it's important that the first part is you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But that peace does not come unless you have received Christ. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And then it says, and always be thankful. Wow, that's pretty big, that we can be thankful for one another. Praise God.